Coming up on KUCB News, quotas are up for the Aleutian brown crab fishery, and Senator Murkowski is still undecided on Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. Golden King crab season opens today in the Aleutian Islands, and for the first time in its 22-year history, the commercial fishery isn't capped by a rigid quota.
It was really exciting this year. It was great to have some freedom in setting fishing limits in this fishery.
Miranda Westfall is a biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. She says brown crab prefer the deep, current-heavy waters of island passes, so it's basically impossible to count them. In fact, this is the region's only large rationalized crab fishery with no survey. In the past, that's meant that scientists couldn't adjust the annual harvests like they do for other species. Instead, state regulations maintained a strict limit to protect the hard-to-monitor stock.
So if we saw that the performance of the fishery was declining, or we had some information to believe that the stock was down, we could lower it, which we had done, but we had no freedom to increase it.
That's changing now that biologists and crabbers have agreed on a method to assess the stock. It's not a preseason trawl survey like the one conducted for other types of crab. Westfall says it's a pilot model that estimates population based on data collected during the last fishing season.
The stock assessment model is unique in that it's based off fishing information. It's a more comprehensive look at the observer data, and it can forecast. And so now we have not only what happened, but we can kind of see where that stock is predicted to go.
Because that forecast indicates a surplus of golden crab, biologists have raised the fishery's quotas. Westfall says the catch is up 18% east of Adak, and to the west, it's increased 11%.
We believe that there's more of a surplus in the east. We're a little more sure about the east just because it's so much closer and it's such a smaller area, so we get a lot more information. But I think both stocks are looking well.
Five boats will fish for brown crab this season, which closes by regulation in the spring. If the new assessment model is successful, the Alaska Board of Fisheries can vote to adopt it permanently next year. Bristol Bay's strong salmon returns stand in stark contrast to other parts of Alaska, where the fish have trickled in slowly or not at all. KDLG's Austin Fass spoke with a fisheries manager to put it all in statewide context.
It's been a year for the Bristol Bay record books as total sockeye runs surpassed 61 million on Thursday, putting it just a half million fish behind 1980's largest run ever. Burt Lewis oversees commercial fisheries in Bristol Bay, Cook Inlet, and Prince William Sound for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's impressed at the Nooshkak run's strength.
That stands out really statewide, where sockeye runs have not been strong. I know that westward Kodiak area is meeting their goals, but with very little fishing opportunity. Cook Inlet right now is under restrictions. King salmon statewide are of concern with low returns, but meeting goals solidly in Bristol Bay.
Lewis says the prevailing theory for Bristol Bay's bounty is the blob, an unusually warm water mass that filled the northern Gulf of Alaska as this year's returning fish migrated out to sea a few years back.
We know that it tends to disrupt food webs that support the forage base that the juvenile salmon feed on. And the fact that we see that pretty consistently across southeast and the north Gulf, and yet Bristol Bay, we're not seeing that. Well, the warm blob, this warm water anomaly, was not present in the Bering Sea where those fish came out. So that's one possible supporting piece of evidence that we're looking to, that it was the 2015 outmigration year that could be driving some of the patterns we're seeing in good returns in Bristol Bay, poorer weak returns across much of the rest of the state.
Anecdotally, fishermen have been telling us all summer their red salmon seems smaller than in years past, but Lewis confirms it. In fact, he says the issue cuts across species statewide, with some of the smallest sizes on record. He blames the marine environment.
That suggests marine productivity at some level is behind it, and whether it's global climate change or just natural alterations through time of how the Pacific Ocean currents are structured, we believe that's what largely is driving this.
Besides affecting fishermen's wallets, those smaller fish returning to Alaska's river systems directly impact processors' bottom lines, Lewis says.
The head and gutting machines and the fillet machines were built on 6-pound average fish, and now we've got 5-pound average fish. And ecologically, each female that comes back is going to have less eggs, so their overall reproductive potential could be declining. And what are the ecological implications of that is unknown.
What Lewis can say with certainty is that strong returns and increasing prices over the last 5 years are raising the value of Bristol Bay salmon. He says this year's ex-vessel value is among the top 5 in Bristol Bay's history since they began keeping records around the turn of the century. He busts out a calculator to punch in the fish harvest so far, 40 million, times the average sockeye weight of 5.5 pounds, times the average price of $1.25. That puts this season at $275 million with the fish still trickling in. In Dillingham, I'm Austin Fast.
Lisa Murkowski isn't ready to say how she'll vote on President Donald Trump's latest Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. The U.S. senator who might cast the decisive vote on this lifetime appointment says she's still reading Kavanaugh's decisions and wants to hear from her constituents. APRN's Liz Ruskin has more.
The Senate schedule will keep Murkowski in D.C. most of August, so she experimented with a new way to reach her constituents, an online and telephonic town hall. Hundreds of people took part. A dozen got to ask questions. And a funny thing happened. Alaska is a red state, but not one person asked her to vote for Kavanaugh.
Why should Donald Trump be allowed to appoint a Supreme Court justice at this time?
Judge Kavanaugh's approach.
I'm concerned about Judge Kavanaugh's support for the unified
executive. I have very deep
executive.
Concerns about judicial nominee of Kavanaugh. I'm very, very much concerned about Roe v. Wade.
Murkowski told them she heard their concerns.
And know that I, too, do not want to turn back the clock when it comes to women's reproductive rights. I do not want to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
There's no reason to believe this was a representative sample of Alaskans. The pool was a self-selected group that chose to spend an hour on the line with their U.S. senator. But the Alaskans who got to ask questions were chosen more or less randomly from that pool. They were not screened by subject matter. At the Capitol the next day, Murkowski said the hundreds of listeners likely represented a range of views, but it was striking to her that most, if not all, of the dozen who asked questions were opposed to the president's agenda.
I don't know why. Perhaps it's, you know, if you are worried or concerned about something, you are more apt to weigh in publicly.
What Murkowski thinks of Kavanaugh matters. She's one of the few moderate Republicans who sometimes bucks her party. If she and all the Democrats vote no, it would sink the nomination. So the stakes are high. Still, Alaska conservatives aren't too worried. So says conservative talk show host Dave Stearin, who has a show on KFQD. Stearin says most of his conservative callers voted for Trump because of his potential Supreme Court picks. But Murkowski's lack of an announced position isn't ruffling their feathers.
I have not gotten 20 callers in a row saying, Lisa Murkowski better vote for Kavanaugh. I don't think they have a sense that she's terribly opposed to him.
As Stearin sees it, Murkowski supports the causes of her Democratic constituents so often she could easily vote to confirm Kavanaugh without paying any political price for it.
They need her more than she needs them. So you're angry at me. Boo-hoo. Look at my track record of voting to support you. And if I wanted to run and win again, I would run and win again. Where are you going to go?
Alaska Republican Party Chairman Tuckerman Babcock says he's not hearing a ton of concern about Murkowski's vote on Kavanaugh either. He believes Alaska Republicans think she'll come around to confirm the nominee, even if it takes a while.
This is very much how she conducts herself. It's not a surprise, and she's very deliberative about these nominations, and she's being very deliberative about this one.
But Babcock says if Murkowski votes against Kavanaugh on philosophical grounds to try to preserve Roe v. Wade, the political cost to her would be dramatic. He says Murkowski has been clear that she supports the landmark court decision protecting abortion. Babcock says Alaska Republicans know that and have reelected her anyway.
But if she turns down a nominee solely because of one political issue, I think that would be very difficult for most Republicans to accept.
The chair of Alaska's Democratic Party, Casey Steinau, says Alaska women who support reproductive rights will hold Murkowski to account if she doesn't turn down the nominee.
I think if she goes ahead and supports Kavanaugh, like I said, I think she is just throwing the support of women, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, all across the board, just throwing their support in the garbage and saying, I don't care what you think anymore, and I've changed my mind. I think it's a very strong signal.
Murkowski says she's reading all of Brett Kavanaugh's decisions and speeches to prepare for her meeting with him so she can form her own opinion. Her impression so far? Murkowski says he's a learned man and a good writer. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.